Sunday the 24th of February 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Doctor's Orders. Sermon title, Heart of Worship. Bible reading, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 48. Talk by Darrell Williams.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Luke 7, and I'll be reading from verses 36 to 48. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at a table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in the town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought him an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he cancelled the debts of both. Now which one of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. What an amazing passage. I just really love that passage. It was something, I just sat there and I just thought, sometimes, you know, you're trying to battle for your week and there's, for me, lots of pressures. I'm sure you all have all sorts of pressures. And sometimes it's just really powerful sometimes as I listen to that passage and just to hear God's mercy, just Jesus' mercy, just that sort of, wherever we are in life, whatever we're going through, whatever we're struggling with, whatever pressures or difficulties, that Jesus is just endless in his mercy and his love. And it is just such a beautiful passage. And this morning's passage also shows us the difference between the Pharisee and the sinful woman, between the religious elite and the marginalized. Jesus had been invited to dinner and he accepts the social invitation. The custom of the time allowed for uninvited guests to attend a banquet, and those in need looked to receive some of the leftovers. The woman, who possibly was known to be a prostitute, would not have been particularly welcome at such an occasion, but she uses the social customs of the day to her advantage in order to offer her grateful worship to Jesus. The woman is showing that very love for Jesus because she has been forgiven her sins. It's not clear if she had on a previous occasion met with Jesus, or whether perhaps she may have been within a crowd when Jesus had been teaching. But her response to Jesus is clear. The sinful woman has been made clean and is granted new life. Her act of worship is both an example of grateful humility, but also a demonstration of the amazing love and mercy of Jesus and of God's forgiveness towards us. I want to share some of my thoughts on the importance of worship and then return back to this passage. Worship helps us stay focused on God, to be thankful for his ongoing mercy, and reminds us that God is ever present in our daily lives. Some of you here this morning will know I went through a long period of instability, which included unemployment and working on temporary contracts. It was early 2009 when I first learned, whilst I was working for a Christian charity I was working for, that I faced redundancy. I continued in a temporary role within the very same organisation, which was the first of many temporary roles until I left later that year, towards the end of summer. I was unemployed for around 8 months, and then I got a temporary contract which then lasted for another 7 months. After this, I got a couple of short job roles before going unemployed for almost an entire year. That lasted from around September 2011 to September 2012. I also went through 3 consecutive Christmases in a row without work, which was difficult, especially those New Year's celebrations when I simply didn't know what the next year would hold or where the next employment would come from. In my previous employment, I was with the charity for 2 years in temporary positions there as well, doing maternity covers, and there were 2 occasions where I came very close to end a contract before finally being made permanent. It was nearly 8 years from the day I was first told I faced redundancy to the point where I once again had that security of being back in permanent work. What I learned during that time was the need to trust God. It was amazing how often God would step in at the 11th hour, from those contract renewals just before they were about to end, to receiving new work when finances started to become a real issue. It is difficult to trust God when you cannot see the full picture, but throughout this difficult period, I knew I could trust him. That is not to say I never had fears or anxieties or worries. That's not to say that I always dealt with the stress in the best manner possible, or that I did not have sleepless nights, because to be honest, there were plenty of those. I'm only human, and again, some of you will have heard me say this before, but it is easy to tell people to trust God, but it's far harder to do that yourself. Although it was testing times, I was able to stand and share that journey in this very pulpit and share stories of people who had either had similar experiences or knew people who were going through their own difficult stages of redundancy. If I recall correctly, it was also during that first period of unemployment where I felt a call to return to ministry. Several years later, and here I am with the great blessing of being able to share God's word with you this morning. And I'm close to the first anniversary in my brand new job, working for the new charity I'm with now. Worship allows us to give grateful thanks to God for his good gifts that God grants us, that we need through his grace. Worship allows us to give grateful thanks to God for his good gifts. And it also, we also receive his grace, and it reminds us that we are part of his kingdom. In my current job, I sometimes get asked during line management meetings, what are my career aspirations? When I get asked this question, my answer has been the same at present. I don't have any. It's not that I lack ambition, or that I do not want to progress in the future. It is just I'm grateful for the opportunity to be offered my current role. After the many periods of insecurity and unemployment, I've learned to be grateful for what I have. I'm thankful to God for the amazing gifts in my life. If I journey with God, he will take me where I need to go. That is not to say we should not be ambitious or make plans. There will be a point where I'm asked the same question and I will probably feel that it is time to progress and seek the next step. like all things, through grateful worship, we can bring all these things to the Lord. Through prayer, praise and worship, we can bring our hearts before God. Proverbs 16:9. In the hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. In Luke 6, Jesus tells us if we listen to God's word and put them into practice, we are like the wise builder who built his house on the foundation of rock. And this is a building that can withstand the storms. Unlike the foolish builder who builds without a foundation, and when the storms come, his building collapses. When it comes to worship, I want to thank God for his deliverance and the many blessings I have. I want to praise God for the countless times he has guided me through those difficult periods. The world can be a difficult place, but rest assured, God wants what is best for us. Luke 12:22-34, do not worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Worship brings us together as a church family, to be guided by the Spirit and together to offer our grateful praise. It reminds us and renews us in God's word. Luke chapter 4 tells us how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus had no food, and at the end of this period he was hungry. It is often the way we find ourselves under attack when we are at our most vulnerable. In coming together to receive God's word, we can pray for and encourage each other. We are told of three things the devil attempts to do to Jesus. The first is to challenge Jesus' authority as well as his hunger. The challenge is to Jesus, if he is the Son of God, to turn stone into bread. Jesus reminds us of the importance of the word of God by telling us we cannot live on bread alone, but on his very word. Again, the temptations continue, and the devil tries to convince Jesus to submit to him, and that he'll be offered authority and splendor over the kingdoms of the world. Jesus reminds us to only worship the Lord our God and to serve him only. Finally, the devil tries to challenge Jesus again, saying if he attempts to harm himself, the angels will intervene. But Jesus reminds us not to put the Lord our God to the test. Worship helps us maintain our spiritual health and discipline by keeping God at the centre, and it reminds us to put God ahead of all things. I think attending church is in some ways a bit like a spiritual checkup that keeps us in good spiritual health. Last week, I felt like I had something stuck in between my teeth. I'd started to become irritated by this, and whatever was stuck there, I got a toothpick and I started playing. You know, you probably shouldn't, and you do, kind of thing. And then I heard this sudden crack. I realised I'd managed to break part of my tooth away. Yeah. When back at school, I had to have minor day surgery on my mouth as I had two ingrowing teeth. This was followed by years of orthodontic treatment on both my upper and lower jaw. After that was completed, I then had three wisdom teeth removed. I looked like a gerbil. My mouth was swollen out here, and I had this V-shaped bruise on my chest. There's a lovely photo somewhere. After all that, I simply stopped going to the dentist. You could probably have some sympathy for me for why I did that, but I stopped going. and when I realised that I'd done something really wrong, it was time to try and get an emergency appointment. I had to explain to the dentist, and I worked this out, I reckon it was probably 15 years since my last checkup. The dentist was really kind and really good with me, and she took a number of x-rays and examined my teeth before explaining what needed to be done. I'm going back for another appointment tomorrow to have, I think, quite a few fillings. I'm fortunate the problems are not worse than they are, but I can't help thinking that maybe some of these problems could have been avoided had I had continued with those regular checkups. Our faith is something we need to maintain, and being part of a church family means that we can guide and encourage one another. You can have great teeth, but if you stop caring for them, stop brushing, they will eventually decay. It is the same with our faith. We need to make sure we are keeping in good spiritual health. Worship allows us to demonstrate our devotion to Jesus, to be thankful for his love, that we are renewed in the power of the Holy Spirit, and reminds us our sins are forgiven. This morning's passage tells us about the two different approaches towards Jesus from the Pharisee and the sinful woman. Simon had not followed through on many of the customs, providing the proper welcome towards a guest within his home. He had not offered water for Jesus' feet. He had not given Jesus a welcome kiss, as was the custom at the time. And he did not put oil on Jesus' head. The sinful woman, in her adoration of Jesus, washes his feet with her tears and wipes them away with her own hair. She shows great humility in washing Jesus' feet, and she kisses them too. If the woman was a prostitute, the perfume in her possession may well have been purchased through immoral earnings and would have been very valuable. The perfume could have been sold for a considerable sum of money. She pours this expensive perfume on Jesus' feet, whereas the oil that was customary to be used at the time would have been inexpensive. It would have been cheap. This story shows Jesus' concern for sinners. The Pharisee had reached a number of incorrect conclusions about Jesus. He considered that if Jesus was a prophet, he would know the type of woman at his feet. He would therefore prevent the woman from continuing as a result. And that as a result of that, further, that Jesus should not be recognized as a prophet. Jesus knows exactly who is at his feet. He knows about the woman's past. He has an insight into our hearts. He is fully aware of what Simon is also thinking, and he challenges Simon with a short parable concerning two men who owes money to a lender. One owes a small debt worth about a day's wages, and the other one that is much greater. Both have their debts cancelled. Simon is asked who would love the lender more, and we see from Simon a reluctance in his answer. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled. The powerful message is clear. Jesus is concerned for the sinners. No matter what we have done, our debts are cancelled and we are saved through faith. Our sins are forgiven, and worship of Jesus is the rightful response that he deserves. Through worship, we are renewed daily in the power of the Holy Spirit and is part of our relationship with God. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen.